morning, good morning, good morning, and good morning to those of us online. If you're out for spring break, you're having more fun than us, so hope you're having a great time out. It is so good to be with you all, and I want to kind of open up by saying, I don't know if it's a stretch to say that I've never felt as excited, or at the very least as passionate about a message as what I'm going to get to teach today. So I am excited. If you are our guest today, I am specifically excited that you are here for this message. And I'm also going to out myself, and I'll say I'm not sure I've ever rewritten a message as many times as this one, but a lot of prayer and kind of just trying to sit with God, align my heart with his, and just hear, like, what do you have for us to hear? And I'm really glad with where it ended up. I'm really happy with what we have for our time together today. So I would like to pray, and then we will get going. So, dear Lord, thank you so much for just another week that we get to get together and learn a little bit more about you. I pray that you would use our time together, God, that you would bless it. And as we learn more about you, God, I especially pray that that knowledge would sink into our hearts, that it wouldn't just be something we know about you, but God, that we would love others better because of it. So please get me out of the way so we can hear from you, God. And I just pray that those around us after today would be better off because of what you teach us. So we praise you for all you do and all you are. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So my name is Barrett Moore. I am one of the pastors here at First Free. And for those of you who are not our guests, you may be thinking, yeah, like a year and a half ago, he taught here and I wasn't working here. And then about a year before that, I taught on this stage and I was working here. So I'm back. Me and my wife and my 9-month-old daughter now, officially out as long as she was in. So praise God. We all just at the end of last year recently came back. And I say that because I'm going to kind of jump ahead a little bit, do something a little bit different than we normally do it. And I'm going to tell you where this message is going. I'm going to tell you exactly what we're talking about today. So today's message is about invitation. And I say that up front because as I talk about even the fact that I'm here, I was invited back here because some great people that the great people at First Free, this community, I got to stay connected with as I went across the country and built ministries with another body of Christ. I get to stay connected here, get invited to teach back here, get invited to teach with a student ministry here, and then come back on staff. And so as we talk about invitation, I'm not only here today just because I was invited back to this local body, but I was invited back into something even bigger. And the good news is today, whether you are a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, whether you're not really sure where you're at, you're also invited into something. So that's what we get to go into today. I love this church, but I will also add, when I say I love this church, I love this body, I love First Free, the word church can kind of bring up some different emotions for some of us. Because some of us have a childhood like me. I was a pastor's kid, and my parents were not perfect by any means, but my parents were really, really good. No one's perfect, but they were really good. And I never had to question whether they were faking it, whether they bought what they were selling. My dad every week is getting up and telling me about Jesus, and I really feel like they're not just saying it because it's something we're supposed to believe. It's not just some fairy tale they're giving me, but they actually believe that this man 2,000 years ago rose from the dead, which is crazy. And they believed that that man was God, which is crazy. And they believe that because of him, I get to be right with God. But when I say that, when I get into the gospel part of it, those of you who didn't have a childhood like mine, that's why I start to lose you, right? Because some of us, maybe your parents, maybe they were the go to church once or twice a year. Maybe they didn't like God. Maybe they wanted nothing to do with God. Your childhood, what a place like this was represented to you as, your experience with a place like this, your story, what it looks like to you, what it was represented to, how you interact with it. God wasn't really someone that loved you or maybe even someone that liked you. Jesus wasn't someone to follow, let's just say it like it is, Jesus was a religion. It was a thing you went to do to check the box for some reason that maybe you didn't really understand. And so if you just want a religion, I've got actually really good news for you. If you just want like something for some kind of self-righteous discipline, get your life in order, there's actually like even better options. There are plenty of people saying, hey, I've got a really good path to God to live a better life. And also like they've got us beat on their scripture because their scripture fell out of heaven. They've got golden tablets saying, here's exactly what God said we have to do. But here's the unfortunate part for us. Our scripture didn't get dropped out of heaven. Jesus actually didn't write any of it. It was written by God with sinners. Just dirty, rotten, normal people who God worked with and through to give us his word. And that tells us a whole lot about this invitation that we're going to talk about today. That God, by his very nature, invited us not to speak for him, but to speak with him. And it caused many of us, maybe our view of scripture, to turn more into an encyclopedia. If you were raised in kind of the way I was before my dad was preaching, I was kind of grew up in one of these sects of Christianity where the Bible, it's an encyclopedia. It's got wisdom that you go to when you have a question. So you open it up and you're like, what does the Bible say about sex? And you go through and okay, got it. What does the Bible say about going to church? Okay, cool, got it. What does the Bible say about lying? And you go through and you got it. But the good news is that scripture isn't an encyclopedia. It is a story. It's one story. And the through line I'm gonna argue today is God inviting us back in. And we mess it up and he invites us back in. And we turn away and God invites us back in. So I'm gonna say that for this morning is that God waded in. God stepped down into our mess, into our hurt, into our dirty lives. And the God of all creation steps down as a child, is raised by human beings, because that's the invitation. That God is showing, I love you this much, I want us to be together again. So Jeremiah 23 tells us, he's not a God far off. And again, if you want a God far off, if you want a really strong, angry God who doesn't really mess with us that much, there are a lot of options. You've got a lot of people pointing to those gods if that's what you want. But if you want a God who's not far off, if you want the God of all creation who stepped down, who was here on earth in the flesh, and he is here, and he was here, and he's going to be here, that's the invitation. So now this is the point where I mentioned rewriting this message a lot. This is where message two became message three, because originally, draft number two, I was gonna talk to you guys about a message series that we just did in JH with our middle schoolers. The series was called Safe, Known, Loved. And it was the first thing I ever taught to our middle school students when I got here, because I mean it. It's the thing I care most about. It's the message I think God has put on my heart for this time more than anything. And so we called it Safe, Known, Loved because I wanted our middle schoolers to know that they will always be safe here. That no matter what baggage they've got, no matter where they come from, no matter what outside of church looks like for them, they will always be safe here. They will always be accepted here. Known. As in, it's really easy to accept somebody when you don't know the baggage. They can let themselves be known. They don't have to hide it. They don't have to fake it. And they will still be loved. That God loves them regardless, that we love them regardless, and that we are glad they're here. And we said all that because Jesus has this interaction with a woman at the well. And he walks up to this woman, someone who feels like an outsider, someone who maybe a lot of us would resonate with. She doesn't feel included. She doesn't fit in. She is an outcast. And Jesus, through this conversation he has with her, makes her feel safe, known, and loved. And by the end, the part that I was going to use is the end of the story, she runs out to the town Funny enough, the town the disciples just came from and invited nobody. She runs out to that same town and invites everybody. And it's so cool because Jesus never asked her to invite anybody. He just says, I'm the Messiah. And she runs off to tell everybody about it. She has one interaction with God in the flesh. And she's like, you guys have to meet him. And so that's special for us, especially for some of us who have been a Christian for maybe a while. If you have a story like mine, we can sometimes resonate with the disciples there. Like, they've known him so long, they went to the town and they leave and they didn't invite anybody. The gospel has kind of gotten numb to them. They've gotten numb to the gospel. And so I wanted them to feel safe, known, loved, because that's what Jesus makes us feel. But then I thought, you know what I think would be even more valuable is if we zoom out a little bit, because this really is the story. Invitation, I don't want it to be a piece of the puzzle or a tool in our tool belt, like another thing that we add to how we do the gospel, but it is the story. It is the gospel that we were invited back in. And so the question for our middle schoolers, the question for you today, how can we make you and the people you care about feel safe, known, and loved at First Free? What would it look like if this place was known for bringing in the outsider, for including the unincluded? How do we continue to forever and always push against this idea of us in the room and those people, the ones who maybe you don't even want to be included? So today, rather than going into that story, we are going to zoom out. And I'm gonna begin kind of splitting it up in this way with what was God's invitation before Jesus came in the flesh. Then we're gonna talk about what was God's invitation with Jesus in the flesh. And lastly, what is God's invitation after? So we're gonna jump in into the beginning. If you have the Bible app or you have a Bible with you, you can open up to Genesis 12. We're gonna talk about this story of Abram, who becomes Father Abraham. And if you don't know that, even historically, this becomes the father of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So this is an important guy no matter where you're from. God talks to him, Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. And our point for today, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. He says, Abram, I'm gonna take care of you so that all the families on earth will be blessed through you. This is God speaking to who would become Abraham about the nation he was going to create. But what's important to catch is that there are really two invitations in this conversation between Abram and God. The first is a promise for Abram, an invitation for Abram. If you trust me, if you follow me, if you do what I'm asking you to do, Abram, I'm gonna do something bigger than you could ever imagine. A great nation is gonna come out of you and you're going to bless everyone. And that's the second invitation for everyone else that doesn't even know it yet. God is already on the move. Everyone's gonna be invited. Abram, I'm gonna use you to bring salvation to the whole world. Not just you or your family or the nation I'm gonna create, but everyone is invited. So, that first invitation, you will be a blessing. Second, he concludes, all the families on earth will be blessed through you. And if we fast forward a bit to Isaiah, this is a prophet speaking to the now nation of Israel. It has grown. God kept his promise, but the nation is in turmoil. There's a north and a south that's been split. They're being attacked on all sides. They are not in good shape. And God says this, you will do more than restore the people of Israel to me. I will make you a light to the Gentiles, and you'll bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. And here's why this is important. Because just prior, Israel had been asking God, we're in turmoil. Seems like everything we're doing is useless. The verses prior say, God, we're gonna trust you because we know you're gonna take care of Israel. And that was God's response. God, we trust you're going to take care of Israel. He says, you will do more than restore the people of Israel. That I am going to take care of you. I am going to watch over you. You are my chosen people. But again, that invitation, you are going to be a light to the Gentiles, to the people that you don't think belongs, to the people that maybe you don't want to belong. You will be a light. So no, Israel, I'm going to take care of you, but the invitation is bigger. And around 700 years later, a child is born. And an old man now, Simeon, is promised by God that he will not pass away until he has met the Messiah. So Simeon wakes up one morning, and scripture tells us the Holy Spirit is moving in him. So I always wonder what that must have felt like, but he wakes up on a morning like any other morning. He knows the Messiah is coming soon, but he wakes up and he feels it. Like, today's the day. I gotta go. So he gets ready. He runs off to the courtyard and he waits and he waits and he waits at the temple courtyard until this young couple comes up and they've got this boy in their arms. They walk up to him and they hand Simeon the child. That's the tradition. They hand him the child and Simeon says, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. And quoting from Isaiah, he says, he is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Because you see, when Jesus arrives on the scene, Simeon remembers something that he had likely been taught as a boy, something that he had learned in this very temple, that the Lord is preparing a way for all people and revealing his salvation to all nations. After his death and resurrection, Jesus gives one of the most famous statements to the disciples. This is kind of one of those where even if you're not a Christian, if you're not really sure where you're at with Jesus, you've maybe heard this verse before. If we're going to talk about being on mission or this series, talking about being a light, this is the verse. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So Jesus, this moment, this thing that's been building for thousands of years, what has always been the goal, what has always been the invitation, Jesus reiterates to his disciples, after he has risen from the dead, he has proved I am who I said I was. Now, the love I showed you, the grace I showed you, the mercy I showed you, my disciples, it's time to go. It's time to tell everybody, the movement is moving. We have to keep going. So he tells the disciples, all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Everybody needs to hear this. So it's confusing then, isn't it? That only a few years later, after Jesus has been crucified, risen from the dead, paid the penalty for sin and defeated death, he makes a way for all people to be right with God. The disciples know that. The disciples have heard it. And only a few years later, we end up back here. Go. For Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. So if you don't know the story of Saul, Saul becomes Paul, the guy who writes over half of our New Testament, a very important character as far as the New Testament goes. And Saul, in this moment, is being told, through this incredible web of interaction, Saul gets told, you are going to be the guy who reaches out to the Gentiles, because years after Jesus had risen from the dead, years later, the disciples are still in Jerusalem. They haven't gone anywhere. They're still in their city. So God takes this moment And he says, Saul, you're going to be the guy. I'm appointing you. You are going to reach the Gentiles. You're going to be my main guy, the point man. You're going to do it. And so years later, what's funny, you follow the story. Paul, through this incredible web of interactions and people that God kind of orchestrates, Paul is blinded by Jesus. He meets the risen Jesus. He goes into this town and this prophet like heals his eyes. And he's like, cool, I got to go tell everybody about this. You've had this encounter with the risen God. And you're like, cool, I'm going to do it. I'm going to reach the Gentiles. And then his first three interactions, his first three times preaching from this moment, he goes to a synagogue. He goes back to the place where the Jews are at. And scripture tells us at this point, there were Jews or people that had converted to Judaism. That's who Paul goes to. But then finally, we get this moment. This could be an entire message on its own. I'm gonna try to make it brief. We get this moment from Peter, who steps into the house of this man, Cornelius. And he walks in the house. And what's so significant about this is Peter, like more than maybe anybody, did not want the Gentiles in. He was not about it. And so he walks into this house of the Gentile who invites him over again. Crazy web, more to the story. You should read it. But Cornelius invites Peter over. He gets to the house. And I always imagine this moment when Peter walks into the house, because scripture actually tells us, Peter says to them, I've never been in the house of a Gentile. This isn't like Peter hasn't been inviting them, telling them about the gospel. Peter doesn't interact with these people. I've never been in one of your houses. And so I imagine that moment when he gets to the door and Cornelius, who invited him, has a party. He's got like all his friends and family over. He knows Peter's coming. He's like, you guys gotta meet this. You gotta hear about this story. He's the one inviting. So Peter gets there and the moment that door opens, can you imagine seeing Cornelius smiling? He's so glad you're here. And you're like, ew, I don't wanna do, like that's crazy. But Peter has this moment and he takes this step and he goes into the house of a Gentile for the first time in his life and he tells them this in front of this room of Gentiles. I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And what I find so funny about this is Barrett Moore speaking. This isn't scripture. But I always read that second verse and kind of chuckle because it almost seems like Peter, it like slipped out. And then Peter was like, oh, shoot, I forgot why I'm here. He said, this is the message of good news for the people of Israel. He's like, oh, and then also you guys. And so it was a tension for the Israelites. It was a tension for the early disciples. It was a tension for Isaiah. And it is a tension for us. Who's allowed in? Who are the outsiders? Do we have to reach the outsiders? Do we have to share with them? But they are not, but they don't, but they do. Or is everybody invited? Is Jesus Lord of all and inviting all people? So here's kind of a really important point for today. It's never gonna happen by accident. You're never going to accidentally invite somebody who maybe you otherwise wouldn't have. You're not gonna stumble into that moment when Peter crosses the door. It's going to be a choice, and it will always be a choice that the unincluded become included, that the outsider becomes an insider, that we reach out of our circles, but it's against our human nature. And so it's kind of like the header for this whole series on mission. It talks about being a light. So I've got this flashlight here. I actually stole it from the tech team. But it's kind of like how Jesus calls us to be a light. And this flashlight, I counted earlier, it has 9 LEDs in it. It's a nice flashlight. This thing's heavy duty. You could probably drive a car over it. It's a really good flashlight. And it's kind of like us. You can have a lot of Bible knowledge. You can know a lot of scripture, but when there's no darkness, this isn't that valuable, right? I can see it a little bit on the ground here. It's not doing nothing. Just like us, we're not doing nothing. But if we only stepped into the darkness, this becomes a lot more valuable. I can see you in the back there. How are you guys doing? Good morning. This is what it means when Jesus calls us to be a light. In the same way that everyone in this room, you can't ignore this. This is what it looks like when the church is doing it right. This is what it looks like when the church becomes the light that God has called us to be. And so, how many people in your life don't believe the same thing you do? How many people in your circles day to day do you interact with that don't think the same way you think, that maybe don't look the same way you look, that don't vote the same way you vote? Are we interacting with people where the light could shine? People that need to know Jesus, people that are far from God. That's what it means to be a light. And so that is where God intends to use us. Not because we're of no use otherwise, but because we are much, much more useful when we're doing what the church is meant to do. Thought of that little song. Who, if you grew up in Sunday school, the hide it under a bushel now. I'm gonna let it shine. There you go, yeah. I mean, we learned it when we were young. It's true. If you hide it, if you don't go into the darkness, it's of no use to anybody. So how many of your friends are unbelievers? It's a good question. Because invitation, when it comes down to it, invitation isn't a piece of the gospel. Invitation is the gospel that you were invited in, that I was invited in, when we didn't deserve it, when we couldn't earn it, when we had done nothing to make ourselves right with God, God made us right with him. The invitation is that you can accept that, that you actually can't pay for it even if you wanted to. And so I said earlier, it's not another tool in our tool belt. It is the reason we are wearing the tool belt. It's the why behind everything we do. It's not a piece of being on mission. This is the mission. This is the why, this is the how, that you would invite others in, that the people you think they don't want to, they don't get it, they don't wanna get it. Well, yeah, that's why we show them. That's why we invite them. This isn't a small shift, and I understand that. This is a fundamental, foundational change in who we believe God is and what we believe he has for us to do. I'm gonna say that one more time. This is a foundational change in who we believe God is and what he has for us to do. For this place, for the way that people will interact with this place, that our default, our hearts are always looking outward, because that is the gospel. To include the unincluded, to bring in the outsider. So I really hope that the conclusion of that is that we would see people differently. As Adam said last week, not just as projects, because people see right through that. If you've ever been treated like a project, if you ever felt like someone was talking to you with, you know, an ulterior motive, you see right through it. It doesn't feel good. What if we just loved people and invited people because we just actually love them? I mean, I just actually want you to be here. I want you to know the community of this place. I want you to know the love of this place. I want you to know the love of your father. And if that's the only why, then that's good enough. So I'll close with this question today. What if they wanted to believe before they did believe? What if the people that you have influence in, the people that God has put around you, that you have been put in that time and the place to interact with them. What if those people that don't want anything to do with Jesus, that don't, maybe they believe in something, they're not sure what, maybe they don't want to believe anything. What if those people, just because you loved them, just because you invited them for no other reason than that you love them, what if that made them want to believe it was true? Because let's go back. What are we telling them? a man rose from the dead. That's crazy. And that man was God. And that is crazy. And that he rose from the dead and he makes us right with God. That's what we're selling. So what if the radical love, the radical community, the way that we see everyone is greater than ourselves, the way that we invite others in as if they are more valuable than ourselves, when that becomes the DNA of this place, when it becomes such a part of how we see ourselves that they would want to believe it was true, that they would think, I cannot believe someone rose from the dead, that doesn't happen, but I wish I could believe it because this place is that special. That they would want to believe it before they do believe it. Matthew 5:16, what if our light shined so brightly that they would see the good we do and learn to praise our Father because of it? That they would come to God because they saw his reflection in you. That they would come to know their heavenly Father because they saw his reflection in the way you treated them. I think it would change this place. And I have to honestly stop myself from getting emotional because I so desperately want the people I care about and the people you care about to come to know their heavenly Father. I want the people that you know to know the love that he has for them. And he wants us to bring others in. Actually, the first line of our vision statement of this church, because God wants us to bring others in, it's this. First Free Church is a growing community passionate about. And that growth will come when we choose over and over again, not for a time, not as an initiative, but as our default, as the DNA of who we are, as an overflow of the gospel that we received. What if it were a growing place because we are always looking out? Not at who's already here, but our hearts are turned also to those who are not here. I don't want to find a way to say this so well or to change your heart, to get emotional. I want the Lord of heaven to renew your mind. I want us to see people differently, not as projects, but as someone who is loved by and offered forgiveness freely by God. And I want for you, not just I want you to, I want for you more than anything to see the great love that your Father has for you and to invite others in just simply as an overflow of that. We have written on our website also this phrase, many of you have heard it before, that the gospel came to you on its way to someone else. And the truth of that is that if you have a story like mine, if you've been a Christian for a while, it can be really easy to feel like the gospel was the thing that brought me to salvation. And not that it is the sustaining work that God is doing in me every single day. That I never outgrow the gospel. I never stop needing the gospel. I never get so wise or so full of scripture that I don't need to remember that God stepped down and gave his life for me. And when you have that in your heart, when the Spirit of the living God is in your chest, people should know it. Our default, our nature should be that I have the gospel. I want you to hear it. I want you to know the God that loves you. So last week, Adam had us write out 8 people. This kind of grid. 8 people that you're pouring into. Who are the people in your life that you have influence with, that you can be interacting with, that you can have gospel conversations with. So today as we close, I just want you to pick one person. And maybe it's a person from that grid. For me, it is a person that I wrote down last week. But I want you to decide right now who's one person, the one person that you can invite, that you can tell, that you can share the gospel with, that they could come here to this place, and this place could look identifiably different because of the actions of every single one of us. That there would be new faces, new people coming to know Jesus week by week by week because it is the nature of this place. because we cannot exist without it. We cannot claim to know the love of our Father and not share it. What if the gospel came to us on the way to someone else? So who's that one person? And here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna pray us out. And then I'm gonna just give us a moment. There'll be some music playing. I want you to pray for that person. I want you to pray for hopefully a potential interaction that God would give you the moment to invite them. For those of us that aren't extroverts, that this kind of thing is difficult, I pray that God would give you a moment and give you the courage to act on that moment. Maybe pray for God to give you more connections, for God to give you more people in your circle that you can be bringing in, that we can continue sharing the gospel with people we don't even know yet, with friends that aren't even connected here that will be because of this. And then lastly, I maybe pray that this place would be marked by the invitations we extend. Pray for what I mentioned a moment ago, that what if this place looked different because of the prayer we have right now? So I'm gonna pray, then take a moment. Dear Lord, dear Father, Yahweh, we pray today that these words wouldn't just hit our minds, God, but they would sink into our hearts, that we would see people differently. That God, the people you care about, the people that we care about, God, that they would come to know you. Not because it earns us anything, God, but because we want them to know you, to know how much you love them for free, that the forgiveness is freely given. And so God, these individuals that we're gonna come to you and ask that you would move, God, I pray for all these names that are in our minds right now, God. I pray that you would do what only you can do, that the gospel would move. And God, I pray that we would have some new friends joining us really soon. God, thank you for all that you do. Thank you for all that you are. And in Jesus' holy name.